Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is sadly the off season. At least here it is in Baltimore, not in Buffalo, not Kansas City, and this is not for yet, and certainly not in Philadelphia and Washington. A crazy little matchup we got going on this weekend. Speaking of matchups, I've had this guy as a friend for over a quarter of a century because I've known you as long as I've been doing hot yoga with Brian Baldinger. I met this guy in the vault at NFL Films Monster Monday on the Sporting News Radio Network. And when I met him, I said, Cosell, interesting last name. Greg Cosell was the executive producer many, many moons ago, and you were a behind the scenes guy. Then were you doing sports radio in Philly by then, or no? Were we one of the first?
I think I
Because
started, God, Nestor. Oof. I mean, shoot, this is my 45th season with NFL Films. So, I'm trying to remember when I started doing
you were a little
sports
more
talk
behind
radio.
the
Probably,
scenes,
I
right? A
know
little
that
bit.
McNabb was the Eagles quarterback when I was doing sports talk radio. I may have even started before then, but I can't remember. That was a long
Andy
time
Reid
ago.
era, two Hall of Fame careers that began in the same place. Greg Cosell is here. He, of course, of NFL Films, NFL Matchup, and I still every year when Steve, we lost Steve, pictures show up, and I don't know. It's been a long time in the game. I guess it's changed a lot in the cases of watching the way offenses work. You were always the mad scientist. You were always one of my favorite guests 25 years ago when you weren't all over my internet page breaking down games, which Baldy has his own breakdowns at this point. Lamar and all of it. It's been a couple of years since I've chatted with you and where this offense is, and I have DVOA and I have, the mad scientist on and shots in these people. Where are you on where this offense has been and where you thought it could be 5 or 6 years ago? Even though they're not playing this week, it has been a magical thing to watch this maturation of all of this and how the game has changed.
Well, I think Lamar's a great, great player. I don't think there's any question about that. Obviously, there's so many things he does for an offense that make it really, really difficult to defend. Obviously, adding Derrick Henry was a big deal because Derrick Henry is a terrific back. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But Lamar has really become a terrific football player. And I know that this week, we all look at social media because it's sort of part of our business. But, I just kind of get aggravated with a lot of the stuff I hear because it's not grounded in reality. And I know that fans in Baltimore are probably upset and they're looking to place blame. I don't get into those narratives, as you know, Nestor. That doesn't really concern me. But when you look at this offense, it's really, really good. And Lamar, it's a combination of Lamar and Derrick Henry. I mean, I did hear Todd Monken say a few weeks ago that Derrick Henry is kind of the foundation. And he certainly is in some ways. But I think when you have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, defenses do have to align and play a different way than if you have a different kind of quarterback. So, and the thing is, when you talk about quarterbacks, Nestor, and you know this, you've been doing this a long time. Quarterbacks have defined strengths, and then they have some things they may not do as well. That's not necessarily knocking the quarterback. There's very few transcendent quarterbacks that are just unbelievable at everything. Believe me, I talk to coaches. I hear what they say, what they tell me, how they go and game plan against players. But there's no problem with Lamar Jackson. He is truly a unique and special player.
Greg Cosell is our guest. So, Greg, I've been beating my own chest, as you know, I like to do. A couple years ago at the trading deadline, and I mean a couple, I don't mean a year and a half ago, I mean 2.5 years ago, when Dobbins was hurt and they were trying to figure things out, and he was even the contract year with Lamar and Snoop Huntley, and Lamar wasn't like 100% healthy at that point. It always felt to me like, dude, he can't be the meat in the running game. He can't be. And look, they threw me out of press conferences when I asked, he's running the ball 21 times and you have to play in 4 days. That's probably not good for business. And it kind of wrecked their season that year. He didn't play well. They played against Miami. He didn't really play again. And I thought they need something else. And that something else might have been a Josh Jacobs, whose agent he is here in Baltimore and listens to me. And we had conversations about, hey, get him onto that team, from where he was in Vegas. And I tweeted and wrote at every trading deadline for 2 years if they could just get Derrick Henry. And Luke would say, they invested in Zeitler. They invested in the offensive line. They just drafted. Nobody pays running backs. Nobody pay. And I know you've defended that position. And I wrote, and I like putting it up, if they got Derrick Henry, they would be unstoppable. That's the word I decided to use that day back in October, November, a year and a half ago. I guess it got stopped with a drop pass in Buffalo on a snowy night, and Lamar trying to do some things with the ball he couldn't do, and the ball gets slick this time of year. But I've said a couple of times that if Art Modell came back or if Steve came back, Steve Sable came back and said, "Hey, Nestor, I hear the Ravens are good and they got this offense. Tell me about it." I'd say, "Well, the quarterback threw 41 touchdowns and had four interceptions. He threw for 4,100 yards, and he ran for 900 yards." But let me tell you about the running back. His only comparable in the history of the game is Jim Brown. Take that, Greg. Am I wrong?
You mean Henry being the only comp is Jim Brown?
Who's his other comparable in the history of the
Well, you're
game that
talking
would
about because
affect
of
it?
his size. I mean, obviously,
The way he plays, the way
you're
he
not going to
runs.
compare Derrick Henry to Barry Sanders or Walter Payton.
Or not even Earl Campbell, or not even Eric Dickerson. I mean, the way he, maybe Jamal Lewis, but he's bigger than that. I saw it at Alabama and I said, who is his comparable, Derrick Henry, at this
Well,
point?
it's funny because Henry to me has always been an interesting guy because he's incredibly explosive for a man that size. I've actually been around Derrick Henry. You probably have as well. He has a waist we'd probably all love to have for a guy that's 250 pounds. His waist looks like it's about 31 inches. But, he's just a uniquely built player. And therefore, the way in which he runs is kind of interesting because even though he runs strong, Nestor, I never felt, even going back to his Alabama days, I never watched him and went, wow, he's just running over people. He doesn't really do that. What he does really well is he, besides the fact that he can go 80 yards any time, is it just seems like when it's blocked for three, he always gets eight, and you look up and you go, how did he just get eight? Because it doesn't look like he got eight. But that's what he does.
Well, Justice Hill's getting eight now because he's out there, and we're like, oh, I mean, Hill had six touches and 60 yards the
Yeah,
other day.
I know,
Yeah,
I know.
like
Well, they're
literally.
all. I mean, they obviously have invested in the O line. They did that with Linderbaum. They did it with Rosengarten, who's turned out to be a nice player at right tackle. I think he was a second round pick, if memory serves me correctly. A player who's actually exceeded what I thought he was based on tape study coming out of Washington. But again, they were a run first football team because I thought he had some issues in pass pro, which again, if he was on a different team, maybe he wouldn't have been valued that way if, by a team that throws the ball more. But he's an aggressive physical guy and he works really well. Same with a guy like Faalele. I mean, he's another guy that might not have been valued the same way by a team that has a more of a true drop back pass game, but he's turned out to be a really good player for them. So, you have to understand who you are and what you are. And there's no question that the Ravens organization with Ozzie and Eric DeCosta, taking his spot, they understand that exceptionally well as to who they are, what they are, and the kinds of players they need. But Henry's a fascinating back because, you don't look at his runs and go wow in the sense that you went wow watching, Barry Sanders or Walter Payton. And I know I'm going back in history. I hope people listening actually know who those players are. But he's just, he's 250 pounds, Nestor. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You kind of lose sight of that when you watch him.
Well, if one guy has to tackle him in the open field, even guys that are running 4-2, even guys that are a little bigger than maybe they used to be, and the position has changed since 1958, one guy's got to tackle him. That Jim, that the push, the head slap, the push, like he's got that ability in a way that Justin Forsett didn't, and Ray Rice didn't,
No, no, no.
like those kinds of players that have been valued in the modern game. You'd look at him and say he's just too big. He's too big to
And
be my
don't
running back.
forget, I mean, and this is a big factor. I see it here in Philadelphia, at NFL Films outside of Philadelphia with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, is the quarterback as a factor in the run game because they're in the gun a lot. And then you have the zone read element every time the quarterback is in the gun and the back is offset, okay? Not as much in the pistol, but when the back is offset. And so therefore, there's there's one or two defenders that always have to be aware of the quarterback, and it's Lamar. And Lamar is so fast that even if you have a guy who's a pretty good athlete, maybe it's a linebacker, maybe you're going to scrape and have the linebacker be responsible for Lamar, he's still faster than that linebacker 99% of the time. So what happens is you're losing a defender, a run support player, a key run player for the defense, and that helps the run game. I mean, this takes nothing away from a Derrick Henry or a Saquon Barkley, who obviously had the ridiculous season. Kind of lost in Saquon's season is the fact that Henry had over 1,900 yards. I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of yards. So, but the quarterback does help. And I, like I said, I know people because they lost, and it was a very fluky game in a number of ways, but there's nothing wrong with Lamar, and there's nothing wrong with this offense.
Greg Cosell is here. Please follow him out on the internet if you want to be smarter about the game of football. He makes me smarter. He's made me smarter for a quarter of a century since we met back in my Sporting News and Nasty Nationwide days. And I always see it through. I love having you on. I'd love to have you on more often. I don't think so much football. We got a baseball team here now. It's baseball. Like, so we'll be talking about that. But from the
Pretty
football
good
side of
baseball
it,
team too, right?
I need a little more pitching,
Although I
as
didn't
we
one
all
of their
do.
guys just signed somewhere else, a big
Santander
deal.
just signed in Toronto.
Yeah. Like I think of what I see,
Well,
5 years,
Corbin Burns signed
82
in
million.
Arizona. Everybody's signing somewhere else, so that's the
Yeah.
problem. Listen, I haven't had you on a lot during the Lamar era, and I could probably go back and find a couple of Super Bowl visits. I think you came on when we all had masks on for 5 minutes as well. But it's probably been a year or two since I've had you on. And the Lamar thing to me, and I love talking to people like you about it because you're there the minute he's drafted at 11:30 at night, and you're like, Ravens went in on that, and they had Flacco, and what does that mean organizationally? And what the thing I didn't understand so much about him was the zigzag and the revolution of what they were going to do. But a couple things. Rules changes allowing quarterbacks to stay upright in the way that they're not getting killed the way they were when, Jim McMahon was doing it and Brett Favre was running around and you could take pop shots at these guys. That helps everything to have them upright for the most part. Still dangerous, right? I didn't running into linebackers was always primary to me to like, that's not a good idea. Running the ball 15, 20 times a game, running into the Steelers 10 times in the first quarter 2 weeks ago. Still, I don't think that's a great the concept of them being there is a great idea. But I think what it's done from a personnel standpoint, from the minute I saw Willie Snead running around and crack down blocking when they were running the magnetic offense of 2018, it was like the magnetic old game where they just all move forward like the old Navy, to where it is now, where it's this West Coast thing with this speedy quarterback and this crazy running back that can run away and skill position players when they have Zay Flowers. But more than that, the kind of personnel you talked about were like Falele, maybe not the greatest fit, maybe the way Ronnie Stanley. They drafted him to be Flacco's guy. Maybe it got a little different. Certain guys can survive this. And then what you can do with a Pat Ricard that really nobody in the history of the game has drawn
Yeah,
this up in the professional game because this was never anything anybody thought they could win
and
with
that's what
outside of Michael
makes
Vick.
this so interesting, Nestor. And in some ways, it really speaks to how good Lamar is. Because other than the Chargers, and it's Greg Roman, so obviously it's the same thing. Other than the Chargers, who basically have taken a converted defensive end and made him a fullback, there's no other team in the league that essentially plays when Ricard's on the field, and he plays a lot of snaps. This team played the lowest percentage of three wide receiver personnel of any team in the league by a wide, wide margin. So Ricard's on the field for meaningful snaps, okay? Obviously, they play a ton out of two tight ends because both tight ends can detach from the formation. But when you play with Ricard, you're essentially playing with four eligible receivers. Think about that. Most offensive coaches in this league think, hey man, I want to get all five receivers out. I want to really stress the coverage. When Ricard's on the field, you're essentially playing with four eligible receivers because he's not a receiver. Every once in a while, he catches a ball, and when I'm watching tape, I'm going, oh, wow. Ricard actually caught a ball, but that happens once every 6 weeks, So it's pretty impressive what first Greg Roman did and now Todd Monken is doing over these last 2 years. And obviously Lamar is comfortable with that offense because, my sense is Monken probably when he came in wasn't thinking that Ricard was going to be part of all this, but my sense is Lamar's probably very comfortable with that, and you have to play to the comfort level of your quarterback. So it's really pretty fascinating how well they can play. I mean, this is a team. There's so many elements that go into this, Nestor. I mean, this is a team that plays a ton with two tight ends. So now you get the defense having to decide how do they want to play. Do they want to put their base defense out there, in which case you can split out likely in Andrews and make it difficult for them in pass defense? Do they want to put their nickel out there because they think that those guys are really good receivers and you want to make sure you have your pass defense out there? And then you got Derrick Henry. So, I mean, it's just there's so many elements to what their offense is and can be.
Well, it feels like they're playing this week, but they're not. Greg Cosell is here. The Ravens are still eliminated, though we're talking about them in the active sense. And Luke and I will talk about the offseason, but as I look at it, I can't imagine them getting off the bus without Derrick Henry next year or how they will replace that element in their
Is
offense
he, what's
unless.
his contract situation?
Well, I think he'll be back next year, but then there's like they thought they had a lot of tread on the tire last year. He ran for 2,000 yards this year. He's a finely tuned,
He
conditioned,
does.
modern
He doesn't.
athlete.
He didn't look any slower to me this year. And we know that the guy's training regimen is. I mean, I've never seen it in person, but everything you hear is ridiculous. You know, but he didn't look any slower. He didn't look any different. Let's put it. Did he look different to you?
Well, no. And there's one more.
No.
Look, I bought a Houston Oilers Derrick Henry jersey that I've been wearing around here. I was going to wear it for you to give you a little
Right,
throwback, but
right.
no, I mean, it's not that I was as bullish on him as, and look, they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. We know that, but as it's constructed, people like you that watch this think it's a thing of genius over the last decade to see what they're doing and the stressors they create, even
Yeah.
in the agony of defeat this week.
I mean, yeah, you know, again, teams win and lose for a lot of reasons, and we know that the goal is the Super Bowl, and you know, there's a lot of talk about who's to blame for their loss. I mean, a lot of fluky things happen in games. There's so many things. But you know, at the end of the day, what is the point of that conversation, particularly when it comes to Lamar Jackson? Because you know, I'm listening to people yesterday as I'm watching tape, just because you know, just like you, I try to stay up on people in the business who I respect talking about all this stuff. You know, because these are people I know. And I think to myself, what is the point you're trying? Are you trying to say then that they should get rid of Derrick Henry? You know, because now you're getting into, well, I don't know if he can win a big game. Okay, so what's the finishing
Yeah, I
point
stopped
there?
taking phone calls 15 years ago for that very. I can't go down that lane. You know,
I
I
mean,
just
what are
can't.
you saying? Okay, go to the quarterback store and get another quarterback? I mean,
I'm trying to think
these are
about what they're really
ridiculous
thinking about in the
conversations.
building, which is we were good enough to win. We were historically good. We didn't win. Now what to do? I talk to you and say, what's broken?
I'm not
Mistakes and
sure, you know,
not
they
much, right?
lost, okay? So and you know, it's a business of winning and losing. We all get that. But I don't think anything's broken. I mean, you know, did he throw a really bad pick? He did. And people say, well, he never did that during the regular season. Okay. You know, the fumble's a fluky play. I mean, he's made plays like that in every single game this year where he's done something special and we go, "Oh my God, that's only Lamar Jackson can do that." You know, obviously what Mark Andrews did, I mean, Mark Andrews is a great player. We could be talking about 4, 5, 6 years down the road, Mark Andrews as a potential Hall of Fame player. So what do you, I mean, what are we going to say about all this that has any real substance to it? You know, it was an odd, fluky game. You know, and the crazy thing about the fumble by Andrews is that Bernard, who caused the fumble, actually totally blew his assignment in pass coverage, which allowed Andrews to catch the ball, and then it just became a crazy play. And how many times is he going to drop it? You know, that 2-point. I mean, you can go on and on. To me, what's the point? You know, so are we saying that the Ravens aren't any good, that they have to like, you know, restructure the whole team? Of course not. This is a really, really good offense with a great quarterback and a lot of really good pieces around it.
Greg Cosell, last thing for you. There's four teams still playing. Just a minute on a little bit of this with Jaden Daniels and what's going on there, and Dan Quinn's ability to kind of turn that thing around and get a young player to play at that level. We've rarely seen that in the league. And then, what Mahomes is trying to do and Josh Allen's trying to do. And you're sitting in Philly right now, so
Yeah,
you're part of the mayhem.
it's really interesting with these teams. And just a quick point about each is, you know, the Eagles have become a team built on the run game and defense. And, you know, look, every team wants explosive plays. That's what you hear coaches talk about, explosion plays. Well, the Eagles get them in the run game. You know, everybody says, oh, well, how can they win without, you know, a pass game? Well, they get explosive plays, and this is what their identity is. Even the Bills, I mean, the Bills came out against your Ravens this week, and, you know, the number one run defense in the league. And in the first half of the game, the Bills had 20 called runs and only 8 called passes. Who would have thought that going into the game? So the run game, you know, even, you know, you look at the Commanders, they're probably a little more, you know, Jaden Daniels based, but even the Bills, excuse me, the Chiefs, They're pass based because of how much they throw it relative to how much they run it. But boy, they've not really had many explosive plays in the pass game. Their defense has been so good. I mean, because Mahomes has a track record that makes him on the way to being a true all-timer, we all talk about Mahomes. But that defense under Steve Spagnuolo, that's one of the best, absolute best in the league. And there may be no D coordinator better than Spags with situational football. Understand, I mean, they blitzed 10 times in the fourth quarter, and then it was a big factor in the game against the Texans.
Get the words out of my mouth. I was going to say situational football. You're going to beat Spags in the fourth quarter of a close game on a blitz? I
Yeah.
don't know. I mean, he draws them up. Greg Cosell draws them up. 33rd team. Last thing for you. You wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, no, I
What's
just mentioned,
this?
I mentioned to you before we started that, coming up, the 33rd team, which you can look online, it's a great group with former coaches, former GMs, former players, a great group. I'm part of it, and I'm going to be the draft guy for it. So, it's getting to be that time, Nestor, where I'm just starting to grind away, watching college guys as well, which takes a lot of time.
The33rdteam.com. The33rdteam.com. I see Dan Quinn out in the front here. But more than that, we had 33rd Street here in Baltimore at that we played football after all these years. And he goes back to Johnny U and
They well, not
Spats and all
yeah.
of that good
Almost.
stuff, you know.
I started in films in 79, Nestor, 1979. So.
Well, listen, I've been collecting these things. I'm going to jump on a set here for a minute and show you these old things. I collect old rock and roll belt buckles, but I've been collecting old NFL
There you
belt
go.
buckles because I'm old school like that. So I have the old San Diego and even the beaten up old Bengals belt buckle here I got from
Well, I
Ken
think we did. It's
Anderson,
funny you say that. I
QB
think we did
Clark.
a highlight film one year on the Baltimore Colts that was called Miracle on 33rd Street.
Well, that's it. So the 33rd team reminds
Yeah.
me of 33rd Street.
Yep.
Greg, I love you. Take care up in Philly. I'll get a cheesesteak and some. I'll come up for a Phillies game or something like that. I miss you. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Nestor. Appreciate it.
Greg Cosell, the33rdteam.com. Glad I got a chance to check that part of it out. You can always find Greg out on the internet if you want to break down football and get away from all the BS and what's really going on when a whistle blows. That's what Greg does up at NFL Films. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.